Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Welcome to the PI World 2020 Roundup of the Year. And today we're with David Thornton, editor and now owner of Growth Company Investor, who we interviewed back in July and October of this year. So, David, how did the year pan out for you? What's performance year to date like?
Well, Tamsin, it's been an amazing year, as we all know. And rather than me waffle about it, I think a picture speaks louder than words here. And the slide shows the value of the GCI portfolio, which is the paper portfolio I run in Growth Company Investor. And it started the year around £140,000 and ticking along quite nicely until the end of February, and then fell 44% in short order. Absolutely staggering move. And then we've had this recovery, and we've got it all back, and we're actually in the black. So as at Monday evening, the 14th, we were up 10% for the year. So I suppose if we just valued our portfolio once a year, we'd shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, that was okay. Nothing really to write home about." And the All Share Total Return Index is down almost 10% as well. So it's a very, very healthy outperformance. If I'm being critical with myself, I'd say I should probably have done a little bit better than that, because smaller companies have had a very good year relative to the All Share, and particularly the FTSE 100, which has dragged down the return of the All Share. But I have to say, if you'd have offered me this in March or April, I would have grabbed your arm off. It's been an amazing year. And I think my theme for today's talk would be patience and taking the long-term view. That applies to a couple of stocks I want to talk about shortly. But yes, absolutely. We're running the equity funds and managing our equity investments for the long term, which should be 5 years plus. And therefore, while things that happen in March, April this year, stomach churning, keeping that eye on the long-term goal and you know, helps you stay with the program, as it were.
So what went really well and what sort of played out as you expected it to and contributed to that performance?
Well, one of our best performers has been Tremor, which has been a bit of a drag previously. It's a stock that we bought quite a few years ago as Taptica, made a lot of money out of, actually sold some shares very near the high, over £4, didn't bin the whole holding, which was something which went very wrong. But I held on to it and actually had added to it a couple of times. I did add to it this summer near just off the lows, and that's gone very well. But if you look at the chart here, I mean, it was actually starting to perform extremely well towards the back end of 2019. The new strategy was working very well. The shift to digital video advertising, benefiting from connected TVs, and the big move away from broadcast TV advertising towards digital video, which they're capturing with their technology. And you can see the shares were coming up really nicely. It's a very encouraging pattern before we got COVID. Then obviously people worried about advertising and marketing budgets being slashed. So the stock was really in the doldrums. But we stuck with it. Again, this idea of patience, sticking with a stock you like for the long term. It had always looked cheap and had a good balance sheet. And then it's absolutely roofed it over the last few months. So we've had three consecutive months of trading updates causing upgrades. The shares do look very cheap compared to the US peers. And it is, to all intents and purposes, a US business. So that's gone phenomenally well and you know, better than I would have expected. I mean, it's been been a double this year, in the context of the market. So that, that's one that's really helped drive the numbers.
But that was supreme patience to hold from sort of nearly £4 to go down to, what was the low, £1?
It did break the pound barrier. It did break the pound barrier, just as you can see in March. And we added to it, I think, around about 130, something like that, in the portfolio. I mean, I do like holding stuff for the long term, but at the same time, making sure I don't end up with a list of 200 companies, most of which have long since lost their rationale. But if it's something you fundamentally like and it's just too cheap, I couldn't bring myself to sell this with significant net cash in the balance sheet and a single digit PE. I mean, the market hated it for a number of reasons, but there just seemed to be no. Yeah, I mean, if you're running a very tight list, and that's something I'll talk about later, if you're running a very tight list, then I probably would have binned it, but I would never have got back in. So it's all about style and approach. Now, I like to be patient and give stocks time within reason. And that means you tend to run a slightly longer list, which I do personally. I put in my personal portfolio, I run 25, 30 single stock names. GCI portfolio is just 14 stocks. So I was carrying a passenger for quite a while with this one, but this year it's certainly, you know, paid off.
Superb. And what went less well this year, and what did you learn from that?
Well, this year, this went extremely well as well, which I will do very quickly and then move on to something which went slightly less well, because very unusually, we've had a couple of bids. We've actually had three, if I include Rockrose Energy, which we held earlier in the year. But we had a bid for Codemasters, which we then had a contested bid. So that has been an absolute slam dunk winner. It's been marvellous. And it was absolute. This one, unlike Tremor, this one, absolutely by the playbook. It's a classic GARP stock, trading a very modest valuation compared to its peer group, compared to its growth rate. Made it a very easy stock to like and to want to have and to hold. And then, of course, it's got bid for, and we're into a contested bid situation, which is absolutely marvellous. So to get a bid in a tight list is quite unusual. To get two three actually, with Rockrose is quite exceptional. So we look at the next slide, which is one which could have gone really, really well for me. It's IMI Mobile, which I we spoke about in October. And so I hope some of the listeners did decide to buy a few after that. Company I've known for an awfully long time, been bid for by Cisco Systems. This just shows some of the quality and desirability of some of the assets on AIM, that they can attract a bid from serious companies like that for their technology. And as you can see, I was really in a tight context of a tight list, and I wanted to get more value and cyclicality into the portfolio. And IMI, I still liked it as a long-term holding, but I had to make some room, and so it went. And back to my theme of being patient with holdings, giving them time to work out. If you're running a longer list, you can do that. If it's dull or quiet for 6-12 months, well, it's no bad thing. You can carry that. But if you're only running a dozen or 14 stocks, then you really have to sort of move things around if you're going to make changes to the portfolio. So we missed out on what would have been a really nice fillip to performance. So. Yeah, I mean that one didn't go quite to plan.
And was there any learning from that? Looking back, for the reasons you've just said, are you happy with what you did, or was there a learning?
I looking back, I suppose the only thing I could have said, maybe I could have looked a little bit harder at some of the other holdings. But the remit I set myself in the GCI portfolio is to run a reasonably tight list. And basically not end up holding everything. So it's just one of those things that happens. And the lesson is that in a short list portfolio, that's the sort of thing that is going to happen from time to time. And if you want to run your money like that, that's fine. Shorter lists, you'll get more volatility. If you get it right, you'll make a lot more money than you will if you're running a longer list. But equally, your ability to, for example, pick up on takeovers is going to be diminished. The longer list you have, the more likely you are to pick up the takeovers. It's just really a case of having to refine your approach and the way, what suits you. As I say, I'm running the GCI portfolio slightly differently to how I run my own money. I don't have a ridiculously long list. I really don't believe in those. But 25, 30 stocks, I think, gives you that little bit of flexibility and wiggle room be able to sit with things during periods where they might be dormant. And with small caps, you know, unless you go chasing after the latest hot story permanently, which I don't think is a good way, good approach to make, you are going to have periods where companies go to sleep, stocks go quiet. And that's where this patience has to come in. You have to keep reminding yourself, why am I in this? What is the story? You know, when the afterglow of talking to the management has died down, and, you know, it's very easy just to quite forget quite what a nice story it is, quite how good they are, how much you like them. And as during periods when stock goes quiet. And that IMR chart actually is a good example of that. It's a stock which it's not the high, never been the highest profile, despite being a, you know, quite a decent market cap within the space. They've never really sort of gone out and banged the drum excessively about themselves. And you can see from the chart there, we've got many months where the thing goes sideways, and then we have results and we have a big jump up. And we you know, that was what happened in July. You know, it's ticking around £3. And then we just, the next price is almost £4 because the results are very good. And then it starts to do the same thing again. And as I mentioned, being a little bit impatient, wanted to get some value on board, I sold it 2 weeks before the bid. Hey ho, happened before, it'll happen again, I'm sure.
So looking forward, what are you really bullish about? Which holding are you really bullish about for 2021?
Well, I was slightly tempted to go for something sort of cyclical and value, because that's a theme which I think, you know, will still have some legs. But I decided, thinking about something for the slightly longer term, a stock I've really grown to like is Venture Life. And actually, you know, the chart is not a great one here. You know, in a way, the chart looks a little bit worrying. It looks like we're actually forming an inverted saucer. It's not, and it's a downer. I think it's probably a couple of pence lighter than this at the moment, about 86, 87p. I mean, this company has really transformed itself over the last couple of years. The strategy has been in place for a while, but they've managed to bring in the right acquisitions, get traction with volumes in personal care products. They've got a very strong deal they've announced in with a Chinese partner, multi-year deal to take their product. And as you can see from the slide there, I mean, sales are up 50% this year. The 21 numbers are just way too low. I would kind of ignore them, really. So, you know, this is a cheap share. This is on a mid-teens multiple of current year earnings. A company that's just grown its sales 50%. Now, why has it come back? Well, partly this rotation into value, but also the company has raised some funds. They did a placing at 90p to raise some cash to do some acquisitions. Now, I'm not normally a fan of preemptive raising money, but I suspect in this case, given the run-up in the shares and the appetite for them, they probably thought it was, they'd be able to move a lot quicker if they had the cash in their back pocket and could actually, you know, demonstrate to a vendor that the money's there. We can do the deal next week if you want. So I can forgive them for that a little bit, but obviously they've got to get the deals done. They did identify, I think there's two or three in the statement, anonymized businesses that they were close to doing deals with, but they've got to deliver on those and get those executed. When they do, then I would imagine we're going to get some, you know, quite juicy sort of upgrades and accretion to earnings. The big thing with Venture Life is that this large factory in northern Italy, which they've been able to expand capacity quite quickly and inexpensively to really sort of raise the productive capacity of the business. So there's tons of operational gearing that will come from that. It's consumer branded products. They've got this great relationship in China, plenty of growth potential. So I think while it's not flavor of the moment, because we're more interested in recovery and so on, and that chart, yeah, it's not brilliant. But, you know, as I say, I still think it's a terrific multi-year story. And, you know, they've put the groundwork in for the next phase. It's now a case of delivering the acquisitions, and when they get announced, then I would expect us to, you know, to be moving on up again.
Superb, David. Well, we'll have to catch up with you later in 2021 to hear how it's going.
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity again, Tamsin, and good to talk.
So just tell people where they can find you.
Well, the website is growthcompany.co.uk, and the homepage has plenty of information on it about Growth Company Investor. You can also click a button there and download a free sample copy. And if you like what you see and it strikes a chord with you, then please consider subscribing, which you can do via the website.
Many thanks, David. And you'll find more interviews in this 2020 Roundup series at piworld.co.uk. Wishing you a very happy and prosperous 2021.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.